Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. How to Hug a Porcupine by June Edding is a compact relationship guide built around an instantly memorable metaphor. Some people are like porcupines. They have good intentions, real needs, and even warmth to give, yet their words, moods, or habits can prick anyone who gets too close. Rather than labeling them as hopeless or advising you to cut ties at the first conflict, the book focuses on practical ways to love, communicate with, and set boundaries around difficult personalities. It speaks to everyday realities. Family members who criticize, co-workers who escalate tension, partners who shut down, and friends who drain your energy. In the little book, big idea. Spirit, eating emphasizes small shifts that change the whole dynamic, such as managing your own reactions, choosing better timing, and refusing to play familiar conflict roles. The goal is not to fix another person, but to keep your dignity and compassion while improving the relationship or, when necessary, creating safer distance. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, recognizing the porcupine pattern. Without demonizing the person, a key theme is learning to separate a person's worth from their prickly behaviors. The porcupine idea helps you notice patterns such as sarcasm, defensiveness, blame, control, emotional withdrawal, or sudden anger without turning those behaviors into a permanent identity. This matters because once you decide someone is simply bad or impossible, you stop being curious, stop setting thoughtful limits, and often respond with your own spikes. The book encourages readers to look for the drivers behind difficult behavior, fear, insecurity, unmet needs, stress, poor communication habits, or learned family roles. Recognizing likely triggers can reduce surprise and help you prepare rather than react. It also reframes what love can look like in hard relationships. Love is not always closeness, agreement, or constant access. Sometimes, love is consistency, calm firmness, or refusing to escalate. By understanding that difficult people often expect rejection or conflict, you can choose responses that do not reward the pattern. The goal is realism with empathy. See what is happening, name it accurately, and stop personalizing every jab as a measure of your value. Secondly, managing your reactions and breaking the escalation cycle, another major topic is self-management, because the fastest way to improve a tense relationship is to stop contributing fuel. Difficult interactions often run on predictable loops, a provocation, an emotional surge, a harsh response, and then a fight that confirms both sides' worst assumptions. The book stresses the importance of pausing, breathing, and choosing your tone and words deliberately. When you can regulate your own anxiety and anger, you become harder to hook. That does not mean passivity. It means responding with intention rather than reflex. Practical strategies include not matching volume, not trying to win in the moment, and recognizing when you are being pulled into old roles like rescuer, pleaser, or prosecutor. It also highlights the power of timing. Many conflicts get worse because people push for resolution when emotions are highest or when the other person is tired, rushed, or already defensive. By learning to disengage briefly and return later, you protect the relationship from damage. Over time, consistent calm responses can change what the other person expects from you, which changes what they attempt. The reader learns that personal strength is quiet, steady, and repeatable. Thirdly, communication that lowers defensiveness and raises clarity. The book emphasizes communication tools that reduce defensiveness while still stating the truth. With prickly people, direct confrontation can trigger counterattacks, shutdown, or denial, but indirect hints often create confusion and resentment. The middle path is clear, respectful language focused on specific behaviors and outcomes. You learn to use statements that start with your experience and needs rather than accusations, and to describe what you want instead of what you hate. Listening also becomes strategic rather than submissive. Reflecting back what you heard and asking clarifying questions can slow the interaction and help the other person feel understood, which often softens their edge. At the same time, the book encourages avoiding communication traps, mind reading, global labels, bringing up unrelated history, or stacking grievances. Another practical element is choosing the right channel. Some conversations go better in writing, some in person, some in short segments with breaks. Communication is presented as a skill set, not a personality trait. When you keep your message brief, concrete, and calm, you make it easier for the other person to respond without losing face. The result is not perfect harmony, but fewer blow-ups, faster repair, and a more predictable way to address problems. Fourthly, boundaries and consequences that protect love and self-respect. Loving difficult people requires boundaries, because unlimited tolerance usually turns into burnout and bitterness. The book frames boundaries as clear lines that define what you will do, what you will not do, and what happens next if the line is crossed. This helps readers stop confusing kindness with compliance. A boundary can be simple, such as ending a conversation when voices rise, refusing to discuss certain topics, or limiting time spent with someone who becomes cruel. The emphasis is on controllable actions rather than trying to control the other person. Instead of saying, "You need to stop yelling," you can say, "I will continue when we can talk calmly," and then follow through. Consistency is crucial, because occasional enforcement teaches the other person that persistence will break you. The book also encourages readers to examine guilt. Many people stay entangled because they fear being selfish or unloving, but healthy boundaries often preserve relationships by preventing repeated injuries. In some cases, the boundary may involve distance, reduced contact, or structured interaction. The message is that boundaries are not punishment. They are a way to make relationships safer and to keep your own emotional resources intact, which ultimately makes genuine compassion possible. Lastly, choosing what you can change and letting go of the rest. A final important theme is acceptance paired with wise action. Many readers exhaust themselves trying to fix a spouse, parent, friend, or coworker, only to feel more powerless. The book encourages a shift toward influence rather than control. You can change how you respond, what you tolerate, and what you invest. You can invite healthier patterns, but you cannot force another adult to grow. This perspective reduces frustration and helps you make better decisions about effort. It also supports grieving the relationship you wish you had while still working with the relationship you actually have. The porcupine metaphor implies that closeness may be possible, but it might require a different angle, a different pace, or protective limits. The book highlights the value of focusing on small wins, calmer conversations, fewer triggers, improved respect, or clearer expectations. It also makes space for the reality that some relationships remain consistently harmful. In those cases, love may mean stepping back, seeking support, or prioritizing safety. The benefit of this topic is emotional freedom. When you stop taking every spike personally and stop trying to do impossible work for someone else, you gain energy for your own life and for relationships where warmth can flow both ways. In conclusion, this book is well suited for readers who feel stuck with a difficult person they cannot easily avoid, such as a partner, parent, adult child, coworker, or longtime friend. It is also useful for helpers and peacekeepers who habitually absorb tension to keep the peace, then wonder why they feel resentful or depleted. The practical benefit is that it helps you shift from reactive relationship survival to intentional relationship management. By improving self-regulation, communication choices, and boundary setting, you can reduce conflict, protect your well-being, and create more respectful interactions without demanding instant personality change from the other person. Compared to many relationship books that lean heavily on theory or assume both people are equally cooperative, this one stands out for its accessible metaphor and its focus on what you can do today, even when the other person remains prickly. The concise style makes it easier to revisit and apply, especially in the middle of stressful situations. If you want more peace, clearer limits, and a way to show care without getting hurt repeatedly, this book is a worthwhile purchase and a practical tool to keep close at hand. If you would like to support June Eating, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.